All right, welcome to Brighton Broadcast News for Monday, January 15th, 2024. It's a cold one. And this is Mike Adams. Thank you for joining me today. We are making it through the cold wave. No problems here so far in Texas. The power grid is still functioning, and I've got the diesel forced air heaters cranking away. All the animals are good, including the new adopted rooster and hen pair that I talked about in yesterday's podcast. Got my goats, dogs, chickens, donkeys. Everybody's doing good. And I'm getting teased a little bit by people up north who are saying, gosh, you're talking about it's going to be like 14 degrees Fahrenheit. That's nothing, they say. You know, up here, it's like minus 15 degrees, or every winter, it's minus 15. Yeah, I know. I grew up in the Midwest. I know exactly what it's like. My point is that there's not infrastructure in warmer climates for extreme cold events. The plumbing isn't built the same way. A lot more pipes freeze. Power generation systems on the grid aren't normally winterized very well, and so they're more subject to failure. People don't know how to drive on ice or in the snow. Seriously, if there's icy rain that's going to like cover the streets anywhere in central Texas, I stay off the roads. Not because I can't drive on ice. I can. I grew up driving on ice. But because I know that everybody else can't drive on ice. They have no idea the stopping distance that's required. Or, you know, they're just spinning their wheels and just spinning out everywhere. If you grew up driving in snow and ice, obviously that's very different. So that's my point. I get it. It's a lot colder in other areas of the country. But we've been through some cold stuff here in Texas that shut down the power grid before. And I'm just glad that so far we're doing okay. But we'll see. We've got another pretty rough 72 hours or so to go here. I hope you're staying warm wherever you are. And I hope you keep your animals warm as well. Now, speaking of storms, I've got a special report for you here about 20 minutes about the financial storm that's approaching. And I listened to Colonel Douglas McGregor over the weekend, and he said something that really stood out. He said that the only way that the U.S. empire ever gets kind of recalibrated to be, oh, let's say, friendly to the other countries around the world, you know, the only way the U.S. empire loses its arrogance and its militant attitude is through a financial collapse. Yeah, Colonel McGregor said this. I mean, I'm paraphrasing, but that's essentially what he said. And he believes that that time may be approaching. Financial collapse may not be that far away. Now, we can't know the timing, but we know that, you know, fiat currencies that were printed like crazy in the past have all failed. So the outcome is not in doubt. It's just the timing. So I'm going to have that special report coming up for you here. And then an interview with Tracy Slepcevich. She is known as the Warrior Mom. And she has a child who is autistic, and she raised that child and really learned a lot about how to overcome autism in many ways, or how to live with it, how to deal with it, how to improve the situation for her child, how to work as a parent in a way that's effective. So it's a very empowering interview, especially for those of you who are moms out there. I think you'll love this interview. That's coming up later today. And then we've got news about the FAA announcing that it's going to hire, well, this is part of its DEI, you know, diversity inclusion program. It's going to start hiring people who have targeted disabilities to serve as air traffic controllers and, I guess, other positions. The FAA on its website actually has a statement about this. If you go to faa.gov/PWDP. That's a Persons with Disabilities Program. Okay, faa.gov/PWDP. Then you're going to see that the FAA is now prioritizing the hiring of people with the following conditions. Total deafness in both ears, visually blind, missing extremities, partial paralysis, complete paralysis and epilepsy, severe intellectual disability, which I suppose used to be called mental retardation, psychiatric disability, and dwarfism. So how do we cover this? I mean, first of all, I don't have any problem whatsoever with hiring someone with physical disabilities if they can still do the job. So dwarfism, for example, I mean, that's irrelevant to doing most jobs. It doesn't matter if you are physically shorter. I mean, you obviously might need a different setup with a chair and a desk and so on, but that doesn't take away from a person's capabilities of doing most jobs, actually. So I don't have any issue with that. Or people who have missing extremities. You know, I almost lost a finger a little less than a year ago, and gave me a lot of appreciation for people who have lost hands or arms or limbs or what have you. And again, that doesn't affect your job performance typically. So I don't see an issue with that. But severe intellectual disability? I mean, let's just call it what it is, you know, mental retardation. So the FAA is literally saying that they're going to prioritize the hiring of retarded people. And I don't mean that in a like insulting way. I mean that in a clinical way, someone with very low IQ. Now, I don't know what the definition of mentally retarded is. Maybe it's an IQ less than 70 or 60. I'm not sure. And maybe that needs to be updated these days because of the total failure of our public school system. I would imagine a 70 IQ person can now get an A in a lot of public schools because, well, it's not about getting the right answer anymore. It's just about having the right virtue signaling, right? But is this what our society has come to, where it's more important to hire a mentally retarded person than to hire someone who can actually do the job at the FAA? Now, the FAA, the Federal Aviation Administration, is, of course, responsible for aviation safety, air traffic control, airplane safety regulations, inspections. The FAA shows up after crash events, usually with the NTSB, to examine what went wrong. You know, the FAA has people's lives at stake. Is this the agency that should be hiring actual cognitively retarded individuals? Well, I mean, this is what happens at the end of societies when you prioritize virtue signaling over meritocracy. It's no longer in the federal government. It's no longer about hiring people who can do the job. It's about hiring people who have the most disabilities. And again, if someone who is disabled can do the job, no problem. I'm all for that. But how can you work for the FAA and be mentally retarded? Well, wait a minute. I think that question answers itself, because most of these federal agencies are themselves cognitively retarded, and our fake president is cognitively retarded. Okay, I guess it actually does make sense. Now, from the top down, from Joe Biden on down, it's like the federal government of retardation. I mean, that's... Are they going to have, what, next, Health and Human Services run by somebody with an IQ of 50? You know, what about the CDC? What about the ATF? I mean, what about the Department of Education? Huh? I mean, it's becoming Idiocracy. It's becoming that scene out of Idiocracy. Let me show you that one.
What is this?
Okay, sir, this is the White House.
What are we doing at the White House?
What?
It turned out the results of Joe's IQ test had caught the attention of the highest levels of government.
Okay, wait a minute. I'm the smartest guy in the world? Says who?
The IQ test you took in prison. You got the highest score in history. Brought to you by Carl's Jr.
Yeah, dumbass. You're even smarter than President Camacho. That's how come he's making you Secretary Interior.
Okay, so who are you?
I'm the Secretary of Energy.
I won a contest, got to be a cabinet member. I'm the Secretary of State, brought to you by Carl's Jr.
Why do you keep saying that?
Because they pay me every time I do. It's a really good way to make money. You're so smart, why don't you know that? The Secretary of Defense.
Huh?
And Funbags over there is the Attorney General.
And that's the Secretary of Education.
It's kind of stupid. Well, he's President Camacho's stepbrother, still does a pretty good job, eh?
So with each passing year, Idiocracy becomes more and more true. It's just, it's incredible. This is what the federal government is becoming. And this is why, you know, Colonel Douglas McGregor, when he says collapse is actually the only way to achieve probably real reform in America, I think he's right, actually. I've done a special report on that very topic. I don't know if I'll play that today, but I agree with that. Now, continuing with the FAA, they also say that they're going to prioritize hiring people with psychiatric disabilities. What? I mean, do you advertise for this? Like, oh, we want people, please apply if you have a psychiatric disability. Like what? Like, I mean, I guess there are all kinds of psychiatric, quote, disabilities. I mean, look at the DSM-IV manual. One of those is, I think, oppositional defiance disorder. It means that you don't like to be obedient to false authority. So what if you showed up at the FAA and you said, yeah, I have a psychiatric disability. I defy false authority. And I think the FAA is false authority. Oh, you're hired. Yeah, we need psychiatric disabled people right here. Yeah, there's your desk right over there, right next to the retard who's running air traffic control for the Washington, D.C. sector right there. Yeah, control all the flights in and out of the D.C. area. And then next to him, by the way, the next desk over, yeah, that's Johnson. He's a dwarf. He's actually our best guy. That guy gets stuff done. Don't let his size fool you. Welcome to the team. Can you imagine showing up for day one on a job like this? Let's say you're a low IQ person. You know, you show up, you report for duty. I'm here. Like, I don't even know what to do. And your boss says, don't worry, neither does our president. None of us know what to do. We're just collecting paychecks. And planes are falling out of the sky every once in a while, but don't worry, there's insurance for those. Speaking of hiring people for virtue signaling reasons, by the way, let's talk about Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin. I mean, he's the affirmative action Secretary of Defense, right? Going way back, all kinds of people who have had interactions with him said that he wasn't that bright and he wasn't honest at all. And of course, according to the media, Lloyd Austin checked himself into a hospital for prostate cancer surgery and didn't tell anybody for a week. He just vanished. Which is kind of something that a moron would do. If you're an idiot Secretary of Defense, you would just vanish and not tell anybody where you are and hope nobody noticed, you know? And of course, the White House is so retarded that nobody did notice. Apparently, this is what we're supposed to believe. And now we're told that Lloyd Austin is still in the hospital, and that's why no one has seen him. Where's Lloyd Austin? Oh, they're still working on his prostate, man. He's got a really big prostate. It just takes a lot of doctors, a lot of days. Don't worry, though. You'll hear from him soon. I mean, first of all, this cover story doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Since when did the Secretary of Defense just vanish in the middle of a war in the Middle East and another war in Ukraine and maybe a third war getting cooked up over there with China and Taiwan, huh? And the Secretary of Defense vanishes for a week, and we're supposed to believe that nobody knew about it. Didn't he have meetings with somebody? You would think if you're the Secretary of Defense that you would have meetings. Or does he just sit around all day playing with himself in the office? I mean, what does this guy do that nobody noticed when he was gone? Surely he must have had meetings. Surely somebody must have noticed that he's not returning emails. He's not sending back any texts. We can't find this guy. Wouldn't that have been almost like a red alert situation for a nation at war in the Middle East for your Secretary of Defense to vanish? And that's why the cover story, I believe, is complete BS. I don't think it's true at all that he just vanished for a week and didn't tell anybody and nobody noticed. I mean, the fact that we're supposed to believe that tells you how idiotic the establishment really has become. They think that we're going to buy that. I think there's got to be another explanation. And there are rumors circulating, unconfirmed. That's my disclaimer here. I don't know which of these rumors might be true, but take your pick. Here are some of the rumors that are floating around. One rumor is that he's dead, that he died in the hospital, and they just don't want to admit it. Because I think, isn't it Walter Reed where he is right now? I think that's the hospital that serves like high-level military, you know, commanders and such. So maybe he died there, and they're going to do like Weekend at Bernie's. Like, Lloyd Austin is still alive, and they'll have little sticks tied to his hands, and they'll puppet the guy for as long as it takes. More war, more war. That's one theory. Another theory, which I admit sounds pretty far out there, is that he was killed when he visited Kiev. He was killed in a Russian missile strike, they say, at least the rumor goes. And ever since then, there's been a cover-up to try to make up stories about why nobody can find him. Yeah, maybe because he's all blowed up. Now, I don't believe that. That's just one of the rumors that's out there. The point is that when your Secretary of Defense vanishes, people's imaginations do start to run kind of wild, and they start coming up with stories. You know, like maybe he was abducted by aliens or something. They wanted a human specimen that resembled Darth Vader, so they tried to find him and they picked him up. I don't know. I mean, I'm joking. I don't believe that theory. But where is the guy? And then if he does eventually show up here in the next few days, we should really look closely because it might be a body double. And I don't mean clones or anything like that. I just mean finding another guy that looks close enough with some hair and makeup and whatever and voice training. They can have a body double. I mean, have you seen the photos of the body they pulled out of Jeffrey Epstein's jail cell? That doesn't look like Jeffrey Epstein. Not his nose, not his earlobes, you know, all that. You've seen that, right? Not his face. There are body doubles. You know, the Queen of England famously had all kinds of body doubles that would take her place at, you know, official events. Especially, she was just waving from a window often. It's like, I'm the queen, hello, hello, peons, you know. And you can't even tell who it is. It's just like some older gal with a wig, you know, in a royal carriage or whatever. It's the queen, ah! Everybody loses their minds. Never understood that. But I can't wait to see what they roll out here. If they're going to say that Lloyd Austin is still alive, then the way this usually goes is they'll roll out a body double that doesn't speak for a long time. You see him. Yeah, it kind of looks like Lloyd Austin. And they'll put out some press leaks somewhere like Lloyd Austin was, you know, encountered at a gala, or, you know, he stopped and helped an old lady cross the street. And it'll be like a story in the New York Post or something. Lloyd Austin spotted in New York. And so you'll have like Lloyd Austin sightings, but you won't know for sure if that's really him because it's a body double out there just pretending to be Lloyd Austin. I keep wanting to say Lord Austin, like Lord Vader, by the way, because Lloyd and Lord are very close. And it just, when he wore the Darth Vader mask and everything during COVID, it just seems more accurate to refer to him as Lord Austin. Not as he's our God or anything, but more like, you know, the Empire Strikes Back, Lord Austin. That's what he represents. Now, if he has been blown up by the Russians in a Russian missile strike, it's going to be interesting to see what lengths the U.S. goes to try to cover that up. Like, are they going to say that he died in the hospital of prostate cancer? And then are they going to have a funeral? Are they going to have an open casket or a closed casket? It's like, trust us, Lord Austin is in there. But will you ever really see his body if he's already dead? Or, you know, is it all just a giant cover-up? I don't know. But just keep your eyes peeled on this one because it's going to get interesting. By the way, I don't wish any ill will upon Lloyd Austin. And I've said probably 1,000 times that every black American needs to learn about vitamin D in order to prevent prostate cancer and breast cancer, right? But nobody tells them that. Nobody, not the medical establishment, nobody in government, nobody in the media, nobody. This is like Black people are condemned to die of cancer at rates much higher than white people because, of course, black skin blocks ultraviolet light, which means that black people are more vitamin D deficient because it's sunlight exposure that generates vitamin D in your skin. But nobody tells black people this, and this is why when black men have prostate cancer, it's usually way more aggressive prostate cancer, i.e. enough to kill you. And maybe that's already happened to Lord Austin. Now, then again, I mean, I don't wish any ill will upon any human being, but if we replace the Secretary of Defense with someone else, I wouldn't mind. Wouldn't mind that at all. In fact, I think that the Secretary of Defense should be hired by the FAA using the same basis of targeted disabilities. I think the new Secretary of Defense should be cognitively retarded, psychiatrically unstable, and I don't want to insult anybody with any disabilities. Let's just say a retarded psycho. But then again, he already is a retarded psycho. I mean, almost everybody in the top positions of the military is a retarded psycho. Top positions in the Senate, Lindsey Graham, retarded psycho. What? Victoria Nuland, retarded psycho in the State Department. It goes on and on. There are a lot of cognitively retarded psychos in government right now. So I don't know why the FAA has to go out of the way, you know, to hire people like this. It's kind of like the standard hiring practice across the federal government. Or I think, why not have a Secretary of Defense who is transgender, purple-haired, nose-pierced, you know, America-hating libtard? Because, well, that's what the top ranks of the military stand for now, and they already have, don't they have a transgender, what is it, admiral or something? I forgot the rank of that one transgender it's a very confused man pretending to be a woman. But it's a clown show, folks. It's a clown show. Now, I do want to just clarify, since I've been talking about disabilities here, again, I don't have anything at all against people who have all kinds of disabilities and yet can still do the job, can do what's required. And there are all kinds of positions that can be competently and well achieved by people who are visually impaired, for example, or people who are deaf, or, you know, people who are missing limbs and so on. And, you know, in fact, sometimes when people suffer from disabilities, they become cognitively more capable. You know, other senses can become more sensitive or stronger. You know, someone who is visually impaired often, for example, has an acute sense of hearing, and there may be lots of positions where that person can be incredibly effective, if not even more gifted in a way than a non-disabled person. So I believe that God has a plan for each and every one of us. It's just that there are appropriate places for all kinds of different people to contribute to society, and having extremely low IQ people run the FAA is not the appropriate way, in my view, to run the federal government. By the way, you know, it just occurred to me, maybe Lloyd Austin is the DEI hire of the Pentagon, hiring someone with severe intellectual disabilities. Maybe that explains a lot. By the way, I don't think he was killed in Ukraine, by the way. And he may not be dead at all. He may very well be alive, but how are we supposed to know? That's all. And what's the difference? If he's vanished, it's no different from him being gone in other ways. So we'll see where this goes. All right, I'm going to play a special report for you here. The financial storm approaching is the real storm. And that's about 20 minutes. And then after that, the full interview with Tracy Slepcevich, the warrior mom, who raised an autistic child. You know, talk about dealing with various disabilities and working to uplift that person in every way you can. I mean, that's what it's like being a mom of an autistic child. And Tracy lived through that, has a lot to share with us about that, and lots of lessons learned. By the way, I'll just wrap this up. The program manager of the FAA's disabilities hiring program. I kid you not, is named Mr. Looney. So Mr. Looney oversees the hiring of people with severe psychiatric disabilities to work in the FAA, making it obviously Looneyville. I mean, low-hanging fruit right there. I can hear it now. People say, oh, you're so insensitive. No, no, I'm not insensitive. I think every life matters. I've said it repeatedly. And I honor a person's life regardless of their intellectual capabilities or their disabilities. But if we're going to have a society that functions and a government that is competent, we have to have goals of hiring people into positions who are incredibly competent, intelligent, capable to run departments like the FAA instead of running around trying to find the most intellectually disabled or psychiatrically disabled people that we can possibly find. When the goal is virtue signaling rather than running a government competently, that's not compassion. That's Looneyville, especially at the FAA. That's Looneyville. And the worst part is that for every cognitively retarded person that the FAA hires, that displaces one capable, intelligent, high IQ person who could obviously do the job better. So they're just kicking out good people and bringing in, you know, just the most virtue signaling people. And this is how governments fall. This is how societies fall. And this is what's happening all on purpose. All right. Enjoy the special report here and then the interview. And I'll be back with you tomorrow. And hopefully Lloyd Austin will show up in the meantime, or at least someone who looks like who closely resembles him so that we could at least pretend. Like, let's have a pretend Secretary of Defense alongside our pretend President Biden. It's all theater, folks. It's all a fake administration. It's all pretend. And I can't wait to lift the veil and see the Wizard of Oz behind the curtain, little man who's been pulling levers back and forth, trying to scare everybody to death. The big reveal is probably coming at some point. We'll see. In the meantime, get ready for Lloyd Austin body doubles. Yeah, he'll be spotted in like three places all at once on the same day, three different cities. Lloyd Austin sightings. It'll be the next big headline in the Washington Post. Trust me, it's coming. All right, enjoy the special report. You know, we talk about storms, but the biggest storm that's coming is a financial storm. And it's really important to realize that this financial storm, the next big one that's going to hit, isn't one that has been modeled into any predictions or projections. It's a storm so big that it's really the collapse of the current financial system. There are no data points, in other words, in the history of our financial system that can represent what's about to happen. And because there are no data points, there's no history in our current financial system of the collapse that's coming. Now, there is history in the history of the world of other financial systems collapsing. But if you look at the dollar, especially post-World War II, the rise of, you know, stock market securities and then derivatives and treasuries and the digital economy and all of this, none of that history, there are no data points that describe the cascading systemic collapse that now appears to be imminent. Because our money system isn't really a money system. It's a debt system. It's based on debt. And the debt is so out of control that the United States government will be printing trillions of dollars a year in artificial fiat currency just to pay the interest on the debt. And that's going to spiral out of control very quickly. Now, in order to believe that somehow something catastrophic will not happen, you would have to believe that numbers don't mean anything, that economics doesn't exist. You know, you would have to dismiss cause and effect and the whole realm of accounting and mathematics in order to think that everything's going to be okay. And those who espouse that rejection of financial reality, they are called, of course, adherents of MMT, which I call magical monetary theory. And they believe that they can print unlimited amounts of currency, it doesn't matter, that the debt never has to be paid back, that there are no consequences to endless money printing. And yeah, by the way, a lot of kings and queens and princes and royalty, they thought that too throughout history, and their empires collapsed as a result, because you can only dismiss economic reality for a temporary amount of time before reality catches up with you. And reality gets ugly. Now, the SEC has just approved, I think it's around a dozen ETFs for Bitcoin. ETF means exchange-traded funds. And an ETF is essentially a proxy for the underlying asset or security. So an ETF for Bitcoin means you buy the ETF, and whoever runs the ETF, like Fidelity, let's say, they are supposed to buy the underlying Bitcoin asset and hold it for you while showing you in your investment account that you have this many Bitcoin ETFs, and it's supposed to translate into, you know, actual Bitcoins. I believe the reason this has been approved by the SEC is because this is going to be the next bubble. They need to create another bubble because, well, they need another institutional scam because, you know, the dot-com scam came and went. And then the real estate subprime mortgage scam collapsed in 2008. They've been running the stock market scam ever since then in order to fleece the common investor, and also a real estate scam that is in the process of collapsing. So they know that they need a new scam to fleece the people. They need to ride a new bubble and get everybody to put their money in that new thing. You know, again, back in the late 1990s, it was dot-com stocks. And they told everybody, buy dot-com stocks. You can't go wrong. They're going up. Or later on, you know, buy real estate or buy tech stocks. All that's collapsing. So Bitcoin ETFs are something that they can create a bubble and they can convince everybody to pour their money into the Bitcoin ETFs, even though those people don't have a plan to actually use that Bitcoin. It's just a speculation play. It's just essentially now a government-approved Ponzi scheme. I mean, this contradicts the whole history of the cypherpunk attitude of decentralization of money and self-custody of money and, you know, beating the system and operating in parallel to the system. Well, now Bitcoin has joined the system, unfortunately, and there's a lot of crypto people who agree with me on this very point. They're very unhappy that Bitcoin is going to be institutionalized now by mainstream investors like Black freaking Rock at this point. Really? How can Bitcoin be cypherpunk, anti-establishment, if it's been approved by the government and is run by BlackRock, the largest asset management company in the world? This is not anti-establishment. This is big establishment. Now, Bitcoin has joined big establishment. Now, if you're holding Bitcoin, and I do hold some Bitcoin, then yeah, your numbers are going to go up. It's going to look like your portfolio is gaining value rapidly. And probably this bubble will run for many years, maybe even a decade. And in fact, one of the nice things about Bitcoin is that governments of the world can't easily bring it down because they can't print Bitcoin. So they can't devalue Bitcoin. You know, Bitcoin is what we call an honest ledger. It can't be counterfeited like the dollar. So I'm not saying in any way whatsoever that Bitcoin is worthless. It's not. It's just that now it's being embraced by the establishment as the next bubble in order to ride it up. And eventually, with all the whales controlling it, you know, BlackRock, Fidelity, JP Morgan, whoever else, then they can crash it whenever they want to as well. They can work the market just like JP Morgan works the gold market or the silver market and just commits absolute fraud. Now they're going to do that with Bitcoin. So the small Bitcoin investor is going to get reamed in this process, and the big institutional Bitcoin investors are going to make trillions of dollars. I believe that Bitcoin is going to go up substantially from this point forward for many years to come. And this will only accelerate when the dollar collapse also accelerates. As dollars lose more value, more people will go into Bitcoin. Does that mean that you should buy Bitcoin and jump on the bandwagon? Well, I would be very cautious of that. First of all, I prefer privacy coins. And I also prefer physical gold or silver or goldbacks. So privacy coins include, you know, Monero. And on my new show, Decentralized TV, with my co-host Todd Pittner, we've interviewed, let's see, Particle, Zano, Beam, Fero, Epic Cash, and Monero. I hope I haven't left anybody out. Those are all privacy coins or privacy technologies that I think would be much better to consider compared to Bitcoin, because Bitcoin is not private, it's public. Everything's public. Anybody can see all your transactions and your wallet balance and, you know, how much you've spent, everything. Whereas with privacy coins, then, well, you have privacy. So that's a much better choice, in my opinion. And I do think everybody's portfolio of assets should include some amount of privacy crypto. And Monero is the number one high volume privacy crypto. But there are a lot of really innovative technologies out there as well, like Fero, for example, or what Beam is doing and others. So they're worth considering as well. On top of that, gold and silver are immune to banking system failures if you have self-custody. You have gold in your hand, right? It can't just vanish. Even if the power grid goes down, you still have the gold. And then the newer version of that, goldbacks, which I did all this lab testing on goldbacks to verify their purity and the amount of gold they have. Well, goldbacks are in denominations as small as 1/1,000th of an ounce of gold, and they have the physical gold embedded in the goldback, which means you can hand someone a goldback, which is kind of shaped like a little bill, kind of fits in a pocket. You can hand them 1/1,000th of an ounce of gold, and nobody has to have any faith in like the currency, because the gold is in it. As long as you know that gold has value, well, that's all you need to know. Then goldbacks have value too. And you can learn about those and my lab testing on those at my affiliate site, verifiedgoldbacks.com. But the bottom line is, the financial establishment is now embracing Bitcoin because they've run out of other bubbles to pop. At least this is my assessment of it. They need to crash the dollar. They are crashing the dollar. They're probably going to collapse much of the debt system that currently operates. And yes, eventually they're going to try to get people into CBDCs. But in the meantime, they can make money off of people piling into Bitcoin ETFs because they're easy to buy, easy to get into, easy to hold. And the people buying Bitcoin ETFs don't need any special technical knowledge. They don't even need to know how Bitcoin works. And most of them won't know that. They don't need a wallet. They don't need to understand anything about cryptography or peer-to-peer, decentralization, blockchain, proof of work, nothing. The ETFs will just make it appear like you're buying a stock. Except, of course, Bitcoin doesn't, you know, produce anything. It's not like buying a corporate stock like Apple, where Apple produces iPhones and allegedly other things that occasionally work. Whereas Bitcoin doesn't, you know, produce a product. It has intrinsic value in its utility and its ability to be transmitted quickly anywhere in the world, you know, and the immutability and the divisibility of this electronic form of money. So Bitcoin has intrinsic value, but it's never going to pay, you know, dividends as a corporation would. And be wary of places that want you to deposit your Bitcoin with them and then they claim they'll pay you interest on that. Yeah, we've seen that chapter before, you know, Sam Bankman-Fried, FTX, and a bunch of other organizations that collapsed. So my opinion is that if you hold Bitcoin, hold it in self-custody. And if you don't know what that means, watch my shows, decentralize.tv, and you will learn about crypto. You'll learn about Bitcoin. You'll learn about privacy crypto. You'll learn about self-custody. And it's a fun, entertaining show to watch because my co-host, Todd, he and I have a lot of fun. And we joke around and I have my dog attack the show mannequin on the desk and things like that. And that mannequin now has puncture wounds in one of his arms and he lost the other arm. So we're going to have to patch him back up. He will appear with bandages next time. But it's a fun show to watch and it's very educational. And I think it can save your assets. I mean, seriously, this is a time to think about, you know, life preservers for your assets. This is a time to think about how do you get through the next few years, through this storm, without losing your assets. Most people will lose most of what they currently hold. Maybe I should have opened with that statement. It's powerful, but it's true. Most people will lose most of what they hold right now. And I don't want that to be you. I want you to get through this with 100% of your assets intact. And if you hold dollars, that's never going to happen. If you are heavily invested in stocks, you're probably not going to get 100%. If you're invested in real estate as a speculative investor, you know, real estate's going to fall as the easy money dries up. What can hold value 100%? Well, some real estate can. I mean, if you make really great real estate decisions, they can. But gold and silver and perhaps certain types of crypto, although that is also speculative, it can be very risky. But ammo is going to go up. I have no doubt about that. You know, diesel fuel is probably not going to get any cheaper. Certain pieces of land are probably only going to rise in value. There are many things that you can count on to increase in value. And those are the things, in my opinion, although I'm not your financial analyst, those are the things that you should look at. Do the research. Check them out. See what works for you. See what's going to hold value. I mean, think about it. If you had purchased gold back in the early 1990s, let's say, what was it? 200 an ounce or something in that range then? Let's just call it 200 an ounce. Because today, you could say gold is 2,000 an ounce. So, you know, gold has gone up 10 times during that time. But the dollar has lost a tremendous amount of its value at the same time, which is actually reflected in the price of gold, of course. So would you rather buy an asset that, you know, holds value or even goes up in value? Or do you want to have an asset that keeps losing value? That's the dollar. That's every fiat currency. That's the euro. That's the yen. Every fiat currency is losing value because of all the government money printing. I really encourage you to watch my videos, interviews with Andy Shechtman, the CEO of Miles Franklin. You can just go to my channel on Brightown.com, HR Report, and search for the word Shechtman, S-C-H-E, what is it? C-T-M-A-N, Shechtman. I know there's a T in there. Try that, see if that works. S-C-H-E-C-T-M-A-N. And you'll pull up those interviews. And they're timeless. You can watch them at any time. Because the principles are timeless. And Andy knows what's coming. Andy talks about the BRICS currencies and the global de-dollarization trend that is only accelerating. Andy knows what's coming. And he openly talks about it, courageously talks about it. That's why I love to have him as a guest. And he knows that gold and silver have historically held value through the collapses that, like I said earlier, that our current models or data sets cannot anticipate. You could have the best AI computer system in the world that studies all the stock market data, and it still can't tell you what's coming because this has never happened in this current system. The black swan collapse of the financial system that's coming is outside the system by definition. Therefore, it can't be modeled within the system. We're talking about an event that is so far outside the bounds of the system that its probabilities cannot even be calculated or even acknowledged to exist. Because if they're acknowledged, then who would have faith in the system? Our entire system of debt and fiat currency is a fraud. It's all a Ponzi scheme. It's a Ponzi scheme that has concentrated power in the hands of the few for, you know, well over 100 years. Creature from Jekyll Island, G. Edward Griffin, 1913. And here we are, 111 years later, The system is about to come to an end. When it comes to an end, people you know who are wealthy today will be impoverished. People you know who own homes today will be homeless. At the same time, people who are just sort of average wealth people, or just people who have the right kind of savings, they will become ultra wealthy because they held the right kind of assets. That's how I believe this is going to go down. As the currency collapses, people will rush into Bitcoin and gold and silver and maybe land and just hard assets, anything that's real, that's physical, which probably includes gold backs as well, because it's real, it's physical, it's in your hands. And by the way, if you want to get physical gold and silver, we do have a sponsor in that space. That's the Treasure Island Coins and Precious Metals Company. You can find them at metalswithmike.com. And you can see their prices there in real time. Very competitive prices, lots of different mints. That's if you want whole coins. You want a whole gold coin or a bunch of them? That's who you go to, metalswithmike.com. I don't earn a commission on that, but they are a sponsor. And, you know, they compensate us for mentioning them with a flat fee. I'm always transparent about sponsors versus affiliates and so on. Whereas verifiedgoldbacks.com, that is an affiliate site. We earn a small percentage of those sales at no additional cost to you. And that helps support us. That helps support our platform. And it also gets real physical gold, highly divisible, high utility into your hands. So, you know, what better way to support this platform and also get yourself prepared for what's coming? But the big disclaimer in all of this, folks, is I don't know the timing of these events. I don't know how long the dollar will last. I don't know how quickly the collapse will accelerate. I don't know the future price of gold or silver. I know there's a lot of manipulation in it. I know that the JP Morgans of the world can crush the price of silver and make it look artificially low. That's where I think we are right now, actually. But I can't promise you any returns on anything, and I'm not encouraging you to speculate. I'm encouraging you to do your research and find out how you can survive financially the situation that we are in, which I believe will reshape the history of money in our world. The cascading interrelated debt collapse that we're about to witness will rewrite the history books. And you're going to see so many suicides and bankruptcies and collapse scenarios, it'll just be off the charts. I don't know when that day is coming, which is why I'm preparing for that day every day. I'm prepared for that day to happen tomorrow. I'm minimizing my exposure in dollars and my exposure in the banking system. I'm moving out of the traditional banking system. I'm doing off-grid banking as much as possible. I've learned the hard way that in the end game, you got to have control. And banks won't let you have control. They'll have bank bail-ins and bank freezes. If you want control over digital money, that's crypto. You get a wallet, you have self-custody, you have your own seed phrase, you know, your recovery phrase. You're responsible for your own password, your own protection, your own backups. You are your own bank. That's the way I prefer it. Or with physical gold and silver, you have physical, you know, control. It's in your space. You have possession of it. Anything in the banks, anything in investment funds, anything in a pension fund, any ETF, anything in the stock market, you don't own the asset. It's just proxies that are IOUs that tell you, yeah, we are holding your asset and we'll hold it for you until you want it or if you want to sell it. But if the system collapses, I don't think you're getting any of that back. I think that what you have in your custody is what's going to matter at the end of the day. So keep all that in mind. Do your own research. Make your own decisions. Talk to your own experts. You can agree or disagree with what I'm saying here. But this approval of the Bitcoin ETF, in my opinion, this is the next great bubble. Bitcoin will probably skyrocket to who knows how high it's going to go because the system needs a new bubble. And they're crashing the old bubbles. So that's where we are right now, in my opinion. So thank you for listening. Mike Adams here, naturalnews.com. You can also check out more of my podcasts and special reports and interviews at brighteon.com. That's the word bright, E-O-N, brighteon.com, or check out brighteon.tv. Thanks for listening. Take care.
All right, welcome to this amazing interview today. You're going to love this. I have in studio with me today Tracy Slepcevic. She is the warrior mom. Not only is this her amazing book here, which we'll talk about, but also she has the Autism Health Summit that's taking place in San Antonio, Texas, coming up very soon. We'll tell you all about that. Welcome, Tracy. It's great to be able to speak with you again.
Thank you. It's great to be here in person.
Absolutely.
This is like a treat.
Well, welcome. I mean, this is the first time you've been here in studio.
Absolutely.
We met before. We met at Dr. Wakefield's film project, actually.
We did.
In downtown Austin.
Yes. I got to be one of those little extras in the background.
Yeah. That was really cool. And that's where I met you, found out about your work. We did an interview before. And now here we are. It's been a while. You've got a lot going on. So, again, welcome. But tell us, just for the audience, give us a little bit of background. You know, if they're looking at the book, who is the warrior mom? What's warrior mom all about?
So, as you know, many years ago, in 2009, Noah was diagnosed with autism. But in 2006, he had a vaccine injury in which I was very unaware of what was going on. For years, the doctor was telling me how normal it was. So I spent 2.5 years trying to figure out what was wrong with my little boy. Wow. And it was back and forth. I mean, a child who had lost all his speech, some motor skills, cognitive function, just slowly went into, a bubble. It was like there was no connection anymore. And the pediatrician said, this is normal. Don't worry about it. It's normal. And don't worry about getting other vaccines because that's okay. It's a normal reaction that your kid just breaks out in a full body rash and has a fever for a good week or so.
Or did they say give him Tylenol?
Yes. By the way, rotate Tylenol and Motrin. And
wow.
Yep.
It's extraordinary. I mean, how can it be that our medical profession can be presented with such direct evidence of harm of children and they can just write it off?
You know, I don't know, because to me, the doctors that I work with today are the doctors that took an oath to do no harm and actually follow that oath. So I'm very proud to stand by those doctors, although they are truly getting it handed to them.
Yeah, well,
these days.
But you, in fact, you have many of those doctors speaking at your upcoming conference.
I do.
The website for that is, what is it, autismhealth.com?
Yes.
Okay, let's show that to my producers. Let's show the screen. This is the Autism Health Summit. And go ahead and give us a rundown of that, Tracy.
So it is a parent-driven 2-day conference. It's also for professionals. I am offering CME credits for doctors and professionals. And it's an opportunity for parents and caregivers and professionals to come together as a community, because I remember the one thing that I truly wanted when my son was diagnosed with autism was somebody who could relate with me. And I felt very alone. I'm like, who's going to understand me? And I honestly had no friends at that time. I, you know, taking Noah on play dates was an absolute nightmare. You know, the whispers, the this, the that. And I got so fed up with it that it was just me and Noah for a very long time. But today I know I can pick up the phone and I have so many wonderful parents on speed dial that have gone through the same thing that I have, that have followed the whole biomedical intervention, that are fighting hard for their kids and telling the truth and standing up for what's right. And I am proud to be standing by their side.
Oh, wonderful. And thank God for you, by the way. You've given a lot of strength to a lot of people. I've always received positive feedback about your work and about your book. I'll mention that Warrior Mom is the book. Actually, we have a side shot here. If you can show camera 5, I believe. Yeah, there it is, Warrior Mom. And this book has really inspired a lot of parents because, you know, it's not just that your child is vaccine injured, but then the parent gets assaulted by the medical establishment and the media and their own friends very often to say, you know, you're crazy to think that the vaccine did this. So it's a double burden for moms and dads everywhere.
It is. And I say the number one struggle that I had back then was people's ignorance, because they truly don't understand unless they actually experience it themselves.
Uh-huh.
So when I wrote the book, I wrote it for many reasons. I had mentored parents for, gosh, over 13 years. And I was telling them the same thing over and over and over. And I was giving them this huge emails. And they're like, you should really write a book.
Yeah.
So, and I wanted people to know my story. And the reason I wanted them to know my story is because, as you know, it wasn't just, Noah wasn't my only battle back then. My husband fights against big insurance. And he wound up in a smear campaign on the front page of the LA Times the same year that Noah was diagnosed with autism. So we lost his business of 20 years.
Wow.
Our home went into foreclosure. I was bartering for treatments. I sold everything we owned. If I could pick it up and put it on eBay, it was gone.
Oh, wow.
And nobody could say no to me. I tell you, I had a clear intention that my kid was going to live a normal, functioning life. And no one could say no to me because I was like, I will do your marketing. I'll scrub your toilets. You tell me what I have to do to get this therapy or treatment for my son, and I will do it. So yes. I did everything that I had to, and I went the distance. And you have your set of parents. You have those that'll go the distance for their child. But you have those that are just going to sit there and make excuses.
Uh-huh.
So to those who make excuses, I wanted you to see that you have no excuses. There are no excuses for not going the distance for your children at all. Because if you're talking that the number one excuse is money and I can't afford, I can truly tell you that
eating, there's a way.
Yes. Eating real food is not expensive. Even if you can't afford organic, still eat real food. Teach your children to eat real food, because this was the number one thing that truly brought my kid to life was cleaning out the gut. And the gut-brain connection is huge. So as people are like, oh, a diet for autism. And back then, gluten-free, dairy-free was called the autism diet.
Yeah, right. Good point.
It wasn't right. Paleo or Whole30 or, you know, an anti-inflammatory approach. It was the autism diet, because all these parents were having such great success from removing these foods,
yes,
you know, and watching the inflammation.
Because they're so inflammatory, yeah.
Yeah. So, it's been such a beautiful journey, and I wanted to share that journey, but also give parents a little bit of guidance as well. So in the book, there's, you know, what are your resources? What are the questions you should be asking yourself if you even think that your kid could have autism?
Oh, yeah, right.
And all the biomedical intervention, which
What year did this come out?
So it came out this year.
Oh, it came out this year?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But my Audible just came out last week.
Oh, okay. Awesome. Okay. That's great. So I want to ask you then your message, because you've been doing this, you know, for several years, even before the book came out, but how much has the shared COVID experience that our society has endured, how much has that altered people's perception of the things that you've been talking about even before that?
I think a lot of people are starting to wake up, but then here you have a huge divide. You have, you know, you have the right and the left, and, you know, the conservatives, the liberals, the whatever it is. And people like to follow that narrative. So as I was, you know, talking earlier to Dell, and I was telling him, it is popular to be autistic now, and people want to have autism. So.
What?
Yeah.
What do you
mean?
My
kid, who is fully functioning, is like, you can't take that away from me. I said, I never took it away from you. I said, listen, I got you to a functioning state. I address those underlying conditions. I do not deny that you have autism. I said, I healed your underlying condition so you could function. Did not say I cured. Did not say I changed you. I mean, granted, he is a wonderful kid. He truly is. He's a great human being. Does he want to follow my dietary recommendations anymore? No. But, you know, he's a teenager. He's 18 and he's driving and he's got his own money and he's like doing his own thing. But that's what I wanted for him.
Right.
So I've accomplished my goal.
But that's phenomenal. And that's why you're called a warrior mom, because you just kept fighting for your son and your family and you achieved what you set out to do. But at the same time, you inspired so many other people with these same solutions. But what I really want to get to is that haven't a lot more people awakened to even the dangers of vaccines, and also the contrived nature of the medical establishment that is not working in the best interests of moms or their sons and daughters. I mean, aren't people now a lot more open to hearing what you went through?
I really do feel like the older generation is. You know, the younger generation is still coming too, and it really depends. But it's a kind of a split. So COVID-19 brought light to a lot of things. And I mean, it's very clear that the vaccine has killed many people. Many people have died, and many people are left with myocarditis, which is a death sentence. You know, so many people are sick. I could clearly tell you, me and my son had this huge argument. He's like, why won't you let me get vaccinated? My friends are vaccinated. And I'm like, okay, let me tell you the laundry list of why.
Because that's been years of trying to deal with that.
Yes. So I went from dealing with fighting for the safety of children, not just my son, but the safety of all children, to also having to deal with the brainwashing and the manipulating.
Oh, yeah.
And so now you've got kids in school. So now they're programming them. So I truly feel vaccines are used to neurologically challenge the younger population so they can brainwash and manipulate them and program them to do exactly what they want them to do. And that's what they're doing. So when my son asked me, I said, all right, I'm just going to give you a scenario and put it in layman terms. I said, your friends got the vaccine, they got COVID. I said, you have not got the vaccine and you have not got COVID. So there you go. I rest my case.
But you make a really important point in all of that, that exposure to the neurotoxic effects of vaccines does tend to take away higher discernment capabilities in all people, which makes them more malleable to, or they can be easily persuaded do things against their own self-interest. For example, take more vaccines. So there's a kind of, you know, there is a neurological damaging component that is being relied upon by the establishment in order to make people more controllable.
Yes.
So it's not about immunization as much as it is about control systems.
Absolutely.
That's scary.
Absolutely. And you had people, I mean, I've talked to so many hundreds of people that are like, oh my God, I got the first vaccine, but I regret it. And I am not getting the second one or the boosters or anything. A lot of people have regrets. A lot of people have health issues. I pray that a good majority of them had the placebo and have no effects at all.
Right.
But so many doctors are coming out and they are speaking out and they are telling the truth. They are the truth tellers. They are writing books. They are speaking on podcasts, on TV shows. I mean, you name it. And they are risking their lives, their medical license, and their careers to do so. And I am truly grateful to walk alongside of them, which is why I created this conference, because I want people to hear the truth.
Yeah.
I want people to see what's going on, but I also want them to be given the information and to be inspired that their child will live a normal life. My naturopathic doctor looked at me and said, Noah's going to be fine. I want you to go home and I want you to do your homework because kids are making great strides with biomedical intervention. Now, I had no idea what biomedical intervention was back then, but I literally sucked the tears back up into my eyes and I went home. I was given hope.
Wow.
And I was inspired to read every book, to learn everything I can. When the state wouldn't give me any ABA therapy, which back then insurance did not cover it, I went to the classes and I read the books myself. You know, I went to every parent meeting, every conference, everything to learn as much as I possibly could with what little that I had. But I didn't make an excuse of, oh, well, that ticket price is high and I can't do that. And, you know, that therapy costs money and functional medicine doctors typically don't take insurance, but there are ones that do because I have one that does.
Mm-hmm.
So, you just have to do your research. Don't believe me. Don't believe him. Don't believe the amazing, some of the best doctors of the world. Just do your own research. That's all I'm asking people. That's the same thing that some of the best doctors are saying, or even Bobby Kennedy. He's like, tell me where I'm wrong. Tell me where I'm wrong. Or Andy Wakefield, who risked his life and his career to what? He had nothing to gain. He had everything to lose, and he lost it. He had a wonderful career as a gastroenterologist.
He has dedicated his life to protecting children.
Yeah.
And he's paid a dear price for that. But he's one of the speakers at your event.
He is.
So actually walk us through some of the speakers, and I think we can show my laptop screen here, even though it's down. I've got your website up there with some of the speakers. Who's at your event? AutismHealth.com.
So we have Del Bigtree, Mickey Willis, Andrew Wakefield, Dr. Peter McCullough, Dr. Brian Hooker, Dr. James Neuschwander, Dr. Judy Mikovits, Dr. Jerry Cartsonell. I mean, we have a lot of sponsors, Dr. James Lyons Wheeler, Dawn Marie Gavin. I mean, she's making a huge blast in the Spellers community, doing such good. And I'm so proud of her. We've got Robert Scott Bell
there too.
And we have some amazing, my cousin speaking, Joe Sliskovich. And, he did our special needs trust for our son. And parents always ask me,
and Pastor Benjamin. Yeah.
And Jeff Sewell. So flying all the way from London, the well-known, world-renowned tenor singer, and they recovered their daughter, who is fully functional now. I think she's right around 19 years old. I might be wrong. But him and his wife, Simone, and his two daughters are coming out, and he's going to sing with his two daughters. I mean,
you
want to talk about a beautiful story, heartwarming, and I'm so grateful that they're flying.
What's the date of the event again? The dates?
So February 2nd and 3rd.
Okay.
So Friday and Saturday.
Okay. February 2nd and 3rd. Oh, I see. Yeah, there it is. It's in San Antonio.
And then, hopefully the world doesn't come to an end before then.
No, I think they planned that later in 2024.
Yeah, later. It was closer to the election.
Right.
So that's
right.
Why I had
probably
to,
okay in February.
I had to squeeze it in at the beginning of the year.
No kidding. All right. Now, the trend of autism continues to increase, unfortunately.
Yes.
And of course, I know that you write about the theories of why this is, but even though more and more children are being harmed by vaccines, the medical establishment and the scientific communities are still not open to any evidence of this whatsoever. No. Is there a point in your view, with all your experience and all the people you've spoken with, and even organizing this incredible conference event, is there a point where this conversation finally changes, where the establishment says, these vaccines are causing autism?
So they retracted their so-called study, in which, because Dr. William Thompson came out and spoke out against the CDC and, Andy Wakefield and Del Bigtree, made a film on it, Vaxxed. And it is coming to light. All of it's coming to light. The rise of it. You can't hide that autism is, per their study, is 1 in 36. That's 8-year-olds. That's just 8-year-olds.
Wow.
In which they go by. And specialists are saying that in the next 10 years, in the next decade, it'll be 1 in 2. So it's rising.
That's unimaginable.
It's an epidemic. It's an epidemic.
But it's an induced anthropogenic epidemic. I mean,
yes, because when we were children, it was non-existent.
Right. But they're causing this. But in order to admit that it even exists, they would have to say that they've been wrong this whole time.
I know. Well, I'm not certain they'll ever say they're wrong, but they'll keep covering it up, and they'll keep. You can't cover up what's going on. You literally have to be walking through life with your eyes closed if you do not see what is going on in this world, not just with COVID, but with anything, with the whole narrative and the divide and everything. It's I've never seen, you know, in my life where families and friends and everything are so divided. What, you didn't get your vaccine, so you can't come into my home, and or you're conservative, I don't want you here. And I don't understand it because I don't live in that world. Most of the people in my world have saw what Noah went through and saw what I went through, you know, with Noah. So they were all on board to not vaccinate.
Yes.
So I'm grateful for that. Even my mom's friends, they're like, okay, well, you know, she said not to do this. We're going to take her word for it.
But, you know, in many children's cases, the autism kicks in within 12 hours after vaccination or 24 hours. I mean, the temporal causation effect is very clear. You know, like before the child was fine, after the vaccine, something changed dramatically. If you're saying that this is going towards one out of two, potentially, or at least some experts are saying that within 10 years, then aren't we going to have really like two different societies? One society where parents have their children vaccinated and injured at crazy rates of injury. Mm-hmm. And then another society of those who reject vaccines and their children are not damaged. And I mean, the division is going to be very clear at that time. How could it possibly continue to be covered up if it achieves these, you know, horrific rates of one and two?
But I always have to believe that everything happens for a reason, that God has a plan, and that somehow good will always win. I truly believe that there's a reason behind everything. But unfortunately, these kids and these parents who just don't know any better, no parent wants to harm their child, to my knowledge.
Depends on the child, I think.
Yeah, no. Right. So the parents that I know, but a lot of times your eyes aren't going to be opened until something bad happens, until you are personally affected. So do I get attacked on social media and this and that, and it's garbage, it's anti-vax this, you can call me whatever you want. You can call me anti-vaxxer. You can call me, you know, late for dinner. I really don't care. I'm going to speak out and I'm going to shout it out to the rooftops until as many parents will listen as possible, because every little life that I can save, I'm going to do it. Yes. Because I don't regret what happened to my son, because my son gave me purpose. Mm. He truly gave me purpose. I put the beat up stick away a long time ago that I had no idea. I came from a military background, you know, you are well-trained and, you know, brainwashed yourself that vaccines are the end all be all. Although I did get very sick from several vaccines and I have my own injuries myself, I just didn't know any better. I didn't watch the news. I mean, this was in 2005. I didn't watch the news. I didn't really, you know, hear about anything. I was raised on garbage food and you know, so I did what I knew best. And, you know, Noah, I'm lucky that Noah responded to biomedical intervention. Uh-huh. When I introduced it, and I did it as quick as possible, because there was a lot of time wasted, 2.5 years of my pediatrician saying everything's normal. So as soon as I got to work, and I mean, you're talking, you didn't see gluten, dairy, soy, sugar, or nothing in my house. Mm-hmm. My husband wanted it. It was outside. Home. You cannot
go out the driveway and eat.
You
your
can
snacks.
Go somewhere else yeah. to eat. And everything I did with him, I did myself, or I was the test dummy. We traveled near and far. You know, we short sailed our home and went to the Ukraine for stem cell therapy, and he regained his motor skills. But setting a clear intention is so important.
Well, yes, but it's also, I mean, to your credit, you've also demonstrated what good, compassionate parenting actually is.
Yeah.
It's not just turning over your child to the public system of, you know, school indoctrination and vaccine inoculation and whatever else the state wants to do to your child. It's actually being a great mom and fighting for your child. I mean, hence the name of your book, Warrior Mom, right? It's about doing that. And what you demonstrated is a process that is accessible by plenty of other moms if they wanted to do it. But many moms out there, sort of the mainstream oblivious moms, they fail to make that decision to do what is needed to protect their child. I mean, and I would argue, I mean, you're saying that, well, they're not aware, they didn't have the knowledge, but I would argue as a mom, it is your responsibility, and not just mom, but dads too, as parents, it is your responsibility to know about health, to know about, you know, vaccines. If you're injecting your child or allowing your child to be injected with something, it's your responsibility to check the facts on that, just like you would read the ingredients on a box of cereal. That's their duty to do that.
But not every mom knows, and not every dad knows. I mean, we're like, you watch advertisement. You don't read labels a lot of times, and Cheerios are good for you. They lower cholesterol. Come on. But I mean, I know so much different now, but not everybody does. And I didn't know then. If it came in a box, can, or packaged, I grew up eating it. Yeah. So I was not raised to eat real organic food, you know. So I didn't know any better. And I know there's so many other parents, but you're right. I always say there's three types of parents.
Oh.
There are those that are going to go the distance. They are going to travel near and far. They're going to break all the rules. And they're going to throw everything at their kid but the kitchen sink. And when that's done, they're not going to stop. They're always going to do their best to learn more to keep their child healthy. Those are the warrior parents.
Yes.
And then you have those that are like, oh, okay, you know, I might remove gluten today. And the doctor said I should put my kid on this medication. And you know, therapy can handle it because, you know, therapies, ABA is the answer to all. And so they're just compliant. Right.
Uh-huh.
And then you have the Eeyores of the world.
The Eeyores.
The victims of, woe is me. My kid's got autism. Feel sorry for me. And you know, I want to make all the excuses. I don't have money for that treatment. I can't do that. You have money and you know, your husband has a good job and you're no. My husband lost everything.
Right.
I'm here to say, we didn't have two nickels to rub together. We couldn't make a house payment. We couldn't do anything. God just provided. I just trusted the process and God provided because there wasn't, I didn't realize it at the time, but there wasn't at all a time during this process that when I was at my lowest, that God would just send me angels and to lead me in the right direction. Sometimes we don't realize that these angels come into our lives, or there are no accidents or coincidences. I mean, my husband and I were sitting in a restaurant this morning, we're having breakfast, and the guy next to me, I'm always striking up conversations. I'm like, wow, that was a pretty big pancake you took down. it was huge. So,
well, welcome to Texas. Everything's bigger here.
Yep. And he was visiting, his sister, who is now a single mom of four children, and three of them are on the spectrum.
Wow.
And I said, well, here's a book. Here's information for a conference. And if she can't afford it, I will provide a scholarship for her.
For the conference?
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, because, whoever you met, they could attend the conference.
Yeah. If I see a parent, so I have people on my social media that are like, that's too expensive. You're price gouging. So I'm here to say I'm not making a dime off this conference. And my husband would be really happy if we can break even.
Yeah.
So
it's a big costly deal.
It's
to put on a
huge undertaking. Yeah.
That's why I don't put on conferences. But it's like, oh my goodness, the amount of responsibility and things go wrong. And And you also have to, I mean, you have to and coordinate have with all the speakers too.
Yep. I've, you know, Andy's like, well, I can't quite do the speaking engagement, but I'm going to do the Q&A at the VIP with my whole, you know, team and the actors and the producers, and, you know, I can do that. So then Mickey Willis is like, I'll speak on the power of film. I'm moving pieces, but I'm here to, if there are those parents that are like, please, I deserve to go. I was that parent.
Yeah.
That was willing to do whatever.
Right.
I'm not going to say no.
Let me say, because of your work, though, by the way, you've helped create an infrastructure of support for other parents, which is kind of what you're just describing. But you've made it easier for other parents compared to what you went through yourself. You didn't have at that time. There weren't resources as many. It was, you know, much smaller groups that you could talk to. But now you've made it easier for people, moms and dads, to be able to connect and get the support they need. Absolutely. And also so that the moms and dads realize, you know, you're not crazy. Your child has been impacted. There are things that you can do. There are treatment protocols, and here are the ones that are successful. Here are the ones maybe not so successful. But that's a blessing to everybody else that's dealing with this right now.
It is. And if they're willing to be that warrior parent and to go the distance for their child, they're not going to be the one that puts a nasty comment on my Facebook posts and says, this is too expensive and you're price gouging. Well, you know, I just gave away, I don't know, my scholarships, but those are the people that I delete block. I mean, you know what delete block looks like.
Yeah, you can't let them dominate your focus.
Because, no.
And by the way, these days, a lot of those trolls are AI bots funded by Big Pharma and the DOD. So you're not even actually dealing with humans in many cases.
Wow.
Yeah, so just think about that.
So when my book came out and I got my first one star, my publisher called me personally and said, I want to congratulate you and welcome you to the team of one star reviews. He's like, you got your feet wet. Now you got a one star review. And honestly, the one star review was slamming Andy. So if it was slamming me, I'd be like, whatever. But it's somebody I admire and care about. You know, it's like family.
Yeah.
I'm like, and I can't respond because Amazon doesn't let you respond to. So, but again, there are going to be those people, and continue doing life the way you do life, because it's going to bring more anger and, you know, controversy your way. Because what it is that you put out into the universe is what you get back. So I have to truly believe in my heart of hearts that regardless, good will always win. It, no matter how it looks, even when there's evil in the world, there's always going to be good.
Well, I agree with you ultimately, but there's the question is, how much evil must we endure before this turns around? I mean, every day that children are being vaccinated with these toxic neurological agents is a day that more children are being harmed.
Yep.
And every day that the COVID vaccines are just being relentlessly pushed on people is another day that more people are dying. And we're talking about millions of deaths around the world now, according to Steve Kirsch, Ed Dowd, you know, even some of your speakers, I think Peter McCullough has spoken about this. We're talking about millions of deaths. Now we're talking about beyond autism, but fatalities of the COVID vaccines, where the numbers are very clear. And they're continuing to be pushed by the establishment, which is kind of like a death cult, if you think about it. At least that's how I've described it. The medical establishment is a death cult.
Right.
That's a lot to turn around.
Western medicine has its place to an extent, but, you know, medical schools are pretty much funded by Big Pharma. So
yes,
they're going to be trained on what to prescribe for what ails, you know, chemistry. It's all chemistry. And I have a very dear friend, a friend and a family friend who is a doctor, was a doctor. He's retired now. And now his son's a doctor. But now he's a new doctor. So
he's a new doctor.
He's brand spanking new. He's young. He just got out of medical school.
Oh, so he's fully brainwashed.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the other one who's old and retired and he's like, you know, screw that COVID vaccine. It's dangerous. And then his son goes and gets it. And, you know, it's interesting because it is the younger community that is truly, truly being brainwashed. And especially, and it's starting in school now. So it isn't just be careful of vaccines. It's now you got to homeschool.
Absolutely. That became clear during COVID. You have to homeschool.
Yeah. So, I mean, I had no idea. Prior to COVID, no idea. My son was already being brainwashed and manipulated in school. Oh, well, I was watching CNN news in school, Mom. And I'm like, for what? At current events. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm calling up the school and I'm setting a IEP meeting. And I'm like, all right, no news for current events. And they're like, why? And I'm like, because I said. And two, I'm like, the critical race theory you can keep for yourself, and my son is to be no part of it. Mm-hmm. And if a vaccine truck pulls out up front, I said, if he goes anywhere near that, I swear, I said, you will have the biggest lawsuit of your life. And they're like, well, why would a vaccine truck pull up front? And I'm like, you're kidding, right? You know, so, and this is where everything's coming to light. And they're like, they don't know. They just don't know.
It's incredible.
So the yous and me's of the world and everything else, it's, we have to step out. We have to fight for these kids. I continue, no matter what, I see a new mom in an airport, I am going to pull out a book. I give it to him and I say, listen, if I gave you this book, and you knew it would save your child's life, would you read it? Do you think a parent's going to say no? I've yet to have one say no to me yet.
Okay. All right.
But well, speak from a place of love, you know, because
yes.
If you speak from how angry you are about what's going on in the world, it's not going to be communicated well. So.
Yeah. Well, I wonder how many children your work has saved. Because I'm sure it's a big number and it's growing all the time. I mean, through your influence and then educating parents and then those parents realizing what's going on and making a conscious choice to protect their children. And also, you know, just dietary wise, changing food, nutrition has a lot to do with all of this. And, you know, I believe as a food scientist myself, I believe that highly inflammatory diets actually set up children for greater risk of vaccine damage because they're almost at the tipping point of inflammatory damage. And then the vaccine is just like the thing that puts them over the edge. Whereas a different child who had maybe a less inflammatory diet perhaps could have handled that same vaccine without going across the tipping point, or maybe their body could have cleared those toxins more quickly, which means less time of exposure neurologically. I know there are a lot of factors here, but I do believe that food has a lot to do with how dangerous vaccines actually end up being.
Yeah, so we all have our underlying genetic predispositions and biological makeup, and that's why I talk a lot about biomedical intervention. And for those out there who don't know what biomedical intervention is, it's really addressing the underlying biological issues associated with anybody. It's not just autism. As I was healing my son, I was healing myself. Diagnosed with fibromyalgia, chronic joint pain, migraines, polycystic ovarian syndrome. I've had 15 surgeries. I didn't realize what benefits this had for me. So that isn't just a protocol for an autistic child. That is a protocol for anybody because we all have underlying conditions.
Yeah.
But you can have these genetic predispositions, right? You know, MTHFR, mitochondrial dysfunction, any of those things. And that makes you at a much higher risk for your child to regress into a state of autism if they receive the normal vaccine schedule. 80% was proven in a study with mitochondrial dysfunction that if the child actually has that, then if they receive the regular vaccine schedule, there's an 80% chance or greater that they will regress into a state of autism. So wow. We're living in a toxic soup.
Yes.
You know, chemtrails above you. Glyphosate is in everything. Your clothes, your furniture, you name it. You can't get away from it. Your food, your water, your air. I mean, it's everywhere. All these neurotoxins are constantly, we're surrounded by them. We can do our best to stay as clean as possible.
Well, right. But I mean, we can actually substantially reduce our exposure to those things through our choices in food, personal care products, you know, choosing not to use Procter & Gamble laundry detergent and skin lotions and shampoos and all that garbage. I mean, I would say you could reduce 99% of your exposure. I mean, I'm a living example of it. You know, I don't have any artificial fragrance products. I don't have any toxic foods in my house. I mean, when I go out to eat socially, yes, I'll have exposure at restaurants. But guess what? You know, I'll bring my smoothie, right? I'll bring my smoothie, or I bring vitamin C, or I bring anthocyanins, or I bring whatever, and I can
bring
protect.
Some charcoal against, and a binder.
Yeah, you can bring charcoal if you want.
Yeah.
I mean, there are things. We do have a lot of control over our exposures if we have good information, which is why the establishment tries to censor you and I and those of us who want to empower people with this knowledge.
Right.
Because the establishment doesn't want parents to have any control over vaccine schedules or education or anything. I mean, they want the child to be owned by the state. The government owns your child. And we've seen that time and time again.
Yeah.
Medical kidnapping and all the rest.
You know, I am so grateful that Noah is he might not agree. He told me, he said, I might not agree with everything that you stand for, Mom, but I do know that everything that you've done is for my well-being and to better my health. And I'm truly grateful. And I'm that brought tears to my eyes, because so many times we think our kids just think we're, you know, nutso. So that meant the world to me. And even as I pulled this whole negotiating thing about him watching Plandemic 3, right?
Oh, yeah.
So Steve and I got home from the premiere, and I'm like, Noah, you have to watch this. So I kid you not, you've seen it, right? Mm-hmm. So that was going on in my home, so much of it.
Oh, yeah.
My kid was like, communism, Stalin. And I'm like, are you kidding me? And then my husband, whose family migrated here from Serbia, and his father's family was taken out, you know, in the communism years.
Yeah.
So that was a huge struggle, because it was back and forth. But I'm like, no, how do I get you to watch this? And he's like, no. And I'm like, a couple $100? No. I'm like, what will it take? Nothing. Okay. All right. Month goes by and he's like, Mom, me and my friends want to go to Disneyland for my birthday. And I'm like, you know, that's kind of expensive, right? Because he wanted me to buy all the tickets.
Oh, of course.
And I'm like, okay, let's negotiate.
Uh-huh.
I said, you watch Plandemic 3 and I will buy you and your friends tickets.
Gosh.
To Disneyland. And he did. No phone, no nothing. Sat in front of a computer. He was in the office, so there was a camera on him. We were at a barbecue. He's calling me with all kinds of questions. And at the end, I remember him telling me, Mom, you know, I don't believe in everything that's in there. He said, but it was a very well-made film. And for my son to say that, who's taken film for 5 years and it is his passion.
Oh, yeah.
And he loves it. I was telling Mickey this the other night when we were at dinner. And I'm like, for my kid to say that to you, who's so critical, I said, that was the hugest compliment you could have ever gotten. Mm-hmm. It was from an autistic individual that you made a very well.
That is huge. I mean, I'm a little bit taken aback by what you just related there, that he didn't want to watch the film at first. But I would say that there's no 18-year-old anywhere on planet Earth that is neurologically qualified to make good decisions about their own long-term interests.
Yeah.
Because the brain hasn't even developed, not in an autistic person or a non-autistic person.
Right.
No 18-year-old. I mean, in fact, this is why the schools and governments target young people, because they're not developed enough to have their own discernment and maturity. They're highly susceptible to peer pressure, which is what drives most young people. They want to conform. They want to fit in. They want to be, and no doubt your son has the same thing.
Absolutely.
Wants to have his friends, wants to be like his friends. And so that is weaponized against our youth by the school system, by the governments, to say conform if you want to be included. Otherwise, you'll be an outcast. No 18-year-old kid wants to be an outcast. Although even later in life, they may actually be realize they need to be an independent thinker, and they don't want to go with the herd because the herd is leaping off a cliff, you know? But I would argue no 18-year-old is qualified to make a decision about vaccines.
I agree. And when it comes to even his medical care, he was kind enough to give me power of attorney for his medical care. And which I left that choice to him. When I give him the reins, I'm like, you're 18. Technically, legally, you're an adult. If this is what you want, okay. If this is what you don't want, you know, I explained to him in detail, you know, where his health is at. Especially because he scrapped the diet. He wants to eat whatever he wants. Sodas everywhere. At least he doesn't drink, do drugs, smoke, everything. I'm like so grateful. Thank you, God. But all these different things that are affecting his health, and especially food. You know, I'll make dinners. He'll be like, all right. And I'm like, listen, eat your broccoli. Eat your green beans. Like, the kid likes greens, which is good. But there's never once where my son has looked at me and said no. I had a friend, and I thought she was a friend. I've known her for over 20 years. And she said to me, oh, no is difficult. She was talking to one of her friends about it. And my son's difficult. Well, I'll tell you this. My son, over the years, has been poked, prodded. He's traveled across the world for treatments, therapies. He has done everything. He goes in every 2 weeks to get an IV. He goes to his medical appointments. He does, you know, now he's doing TMS. And I say, Noah, take your vitamins. Yes, Mom. Noah, go to your doctor's appointment. Yes, Mom. Noah, do this. Yes, Mom. Never once has my son looked back at me and said no. And I'm like, if you think that's a difficult child, apparently this isn't a friendship anymore.
Wow. Yeah. No kidding. Well, I just have to say, I mean, you're an awesome mom. Not just a warrior mom, but you could have another book, Awesome Warrior Mom. I mean, you've gone above and beyond what most moms would be willing to do. And in taking this journey yourself, you have really demonstrated, I think, what good parenting is all about, that you're willing to fight for the health and future of your child and your family. And that really makes me admire you and
thank you.
Your work and, you know, what you've done. And of course, I'm not alone, you know, because your book, here it is, Warrior Mom. I just want to encourage our audience, if you're finding this conversation to be intriguing or inspiring, get this book yourself. And also then consider attending the conference right here in Texas, San Antonio, February 2nd and 3rd, right?
Yes.
AutismHealth.com. And tickets are available right now.
They are.
And where's the JW Marriott San Antonio Hill Country Resort and Spa? Okay. That sounds like a really fancy place.
It's a super fancy place.
Is it?
Yeah. And by the way, if the hotel's too much, there are some nice, sweet hotels 5 minutes away. If you want to get $50 off a ticket. You can use promo code AHS50, and that'll take $50 off your ticket.
AHS, what does that stand for?
Autism Health Summit.
Oh, okay. AHS 50. Okay. AHS 50. All right.
But it'll be
perfect.
You know, it'll, if anything, it'll be a great big party.
Absolutely. All right. Well, Tracy, this is amazing. I thank you for really opening up and sharing so much with us here. It's been an amazing conversation, and I think it will lend a lot of awakening to those who are watching and maybe, you know, struggling through some of the same issues that you dealt with. I thank you for being here and sharing this with us.
And thank you so much for having me and everything that you do to create awareness, because it's, you know, it's individuals like you that make a huge, I mean, we're all out there making a difference, but to create awareness, and you do it on a you know, a wonderful platform, and you're reaching a lot of people, and, you know, as a parent and as, you know, a human being, I'm truly grateful to you as well.
Well, we are out there together working to empower people. And so many of our audience watching, they also empower people in their own ways.
They are, you know, talking to your neighbor, talking to a friend, talking to a person in a restaurant.
Yeah.
Could change a life.
That's right.
Don't ever disregard what it is that you can do just by talking to somebody, because today everybody knows somebody who is impacted by autism.
Absolutely.
So, you know, don't be quiet. Be a voice.
Yes.
And, you know, remember, because we all have a why, right? I always say we all have a why. Noah and my family were my why, and I just got to be a fighter, and so many parents out there have done what I've done. I'm just speaking for all of them.
Yes. Yes. Wow. Powerful. Okay, folks, again, the book is called Warrior Mom, and it's available everywhere, and the audio version is now available, right?
Amazon. So it is an Amazon exclusive.
Oh, okay. There it is. Warrior Mom. Yeah. So audible.com, which is Amazon, has the audiobook if you want to hear the book. And then be sure to check out the Autism Health Conference. It's autismhealth.com. Again, February 2nd and 3rd in San Antonio. And there's
a
different promo code.
That one has CHD.
Yeah.
I could use that one too.
Sure. CHD50 or AHS50. You're going to get $50 off registration.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Awesome. Well, thank all of you for watching today, and feel free to repost this interview on other platforms. I'm Mike Adams, of course, the founder of Brighteon.com, the free speech platform where we can have uncensored conversations just like this, which is not possible on mainstream platforms. So thank you for watching today, and thank you, Tracy, for being here.
Well, thank you.
All right. Take care, everybody.
Bye-bye.
I'm happy to announce we have our laundry detergent back in stock at healthrangerstore.com. Got it up on my laptop here to show you. Now, you may wonder, like, what's so special about laundry detergent? Well, and we sell it as a pair here, these I think it's 5-pound boxes. Yeah, 2 5-pound boxes together. Well, check this out. We are meticulous about the ingredients. This has zero abrasives, no lye, no phosphates, no bleach, no dyes, no perfume. Most people's laundry detergent is a toxic stew of garbage. But if you look at our ingredients here, you can go through these ingredients and you can meticulously research these ingredients, as we have done, and you can find out that they're incredibly safe for the environment, safe for you and your skin, and also very effective at cleaning your laundry. You know, a lot of people's laundry detergent is just filled with fragrance chemicals that make their clothes smell better, but it's toxic. You know, all those perfumes, when you perspire, the wetness soaks into your clothes that are soaked in the toxins in the laundry detergent, and then your skin can absorb those toxins, which in many cases with many other products are cancer-causing toxins. That's why we say no synthetic fragrances whatsoever. We want you to be clean, but we also want you to be cancer-free, right? I mean, we don't want to have a product that contributes to your cancer. And so we're very meticulous about the ingredients. This is the laundry detergent that I use, and you know how sensitive I am to artificial fragrance and fabric softeners and all that garbage, which I think is just, you know, poison for consumers, typically what's sold at the main stores out there, you know, the big box stores and so on. If you want to clean up your life, clean up your health habits, It's not enough to just have clean food and clean water. You also need to stop poisoning your laundry. And that means get our laundry detergent, healthrangerstore.com. It's back in stock now. It's been over 6 months since we even had this in stock, and this is not going to last very long because so many people have been waiting for it. It's difficult for us to get this formulation manufactured and made for us and then delivered to us. And I don't know how long, you know, this is going to last. Get some now while you can. We also have, by the way, automatic dishwasher detergent. We have body soap. We have many other home and personal care products at healthrangerstore.com. And in addition to supporting our platform and our message with your purchase, you're also supporting your own health. You're detoxifying your body. You're going to live a cleaner, healthier, longer life because of avoiding exposure to the toxins that are associated with all kinds of horrible things that happen to people. So clean up your laundry. Get the poison out of your clothing, out of your socks, out of your underwear. And this is how you can do it. Laundry detergent, healthrangerstore.com. We formulated it. It's manufactured for us. Finally have it back in stock while supplies last. And then it'll probably be gone for 6 more months. So check it out right now, today, healthrangerstore.com. Thank you for your support.